Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Cozy Pillow Talk. I'm your host. It is me, Alex, and I hope that you are having such a fantastic day. Honestly, I mean, the weather has been fine the last couple of days, except for today. Well, the half of today looked quite all right. And then the other half was a little stinky, but I guess we don't mention that. But today we are talking about mental health, and I am not alone. I'm here with my friend Stella. She's here and she's ready to talk about everything and anything that I have gone through in my life. Just kidding. She's here to diagnose me. Just kidding. We're not a doctor. We're not licensed people. Just also putting that as a clear statement as well.
Don't sue us.
Yeah, don't sue us. We're not doctors. We have not studied anything. We only studied basically what has been going in our own brains. Mm-hmm. Just putting it out there for anyone who thinks that they can seek help with us. Yeah, don't. No. We are not doctors. No. I don't think we're even qualified to even, you know, check ourselves out at that point. Mm-hmm. If I still have to ask Google for help, and Google tells me you're going to die in 2 days, then, you know.
We need help.
Yeah, we do need help. Aww, cute things. But beginning, Stella, no one knows who you are yet. Who are you?
Well, I'm Stella, as has been mentioned before. I know Alex from school. We recently got back into connection, seeing each other spontaneously in our train station in the air and like close to us.
Early in the morning, by the way.
Early in the morning. It was way too early. It was like 6:30.
6:30. I think you scared me, right?
Yeah. Alex was really scared to see me.
I wasn't expecting you, okay? Yeah. Like, I was expecting to go on my train. My train was there, yeah. And then this girl just waves at me, and I'm there with my headphones on. And I'm like,
Exactly. But, yeah, we've gone through a lot in school together.
A lot of tears, a lot of sweat.
Exactly.
Which made me lead to this podcast today.
Full circle.
Not blaming the school at all.
No.
No, but in general. Okay. Based on that, 2020... It's almost hard to say 2022 without saying 2020. Mm. 2022. Have you made any New Year's resolutions?
Oh, I gave up on those because most of the times I just disappoint myself. So Might as well not put myself up on the path. Like, might as well just.
Wait, that sounds like that Spider-Man quote. Did you watch a new Spider-Man?
Yeah.
And they say something with disappointment.
Oh yeah, to always be disappointed.
Always expect disappointment because
I really vibe with Zendaya there. Yeah. Zendaya? Spider-Man's girlfriend.
The girl there in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like
you almost quote. I feel like you almost like had the quote because I was like, wait, I heard it somewhere. Yeah. But I think we've just No, I have. I also have not. Well, I have what I have set one, and that was travel more.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And I feel like that's one I can actually like
realistic this
year.
Yeah,
and not like become a better human because let's be honest.
It's very vague.
Let's be honest, I'm not going to get any better.
No, come on.
I'm like, I can only get worse at this point.
No.
Apparently how last year was going, I've been only getting worse and worse. People have been leaving my life left and right, you know? If you want to know about that, just click on my other podcast called You Win Some and You Lose Some. Very depressing. Just kidding. Not kidding. No, but this year I have not set any kind of like personal, like, you know, emotional ones because I think once I kind of set something as in like, oh yeah, like this year I want to become a better friend. Mm. You know, then I question myself, what is a better friend? And then all, you know, the whole like, I do too much and then they leave me and then I don't do too much. And people who think like, oh, she never texts me back. I forgot about them even, or I hate them. Mm-hmm. It's really, I'm just tired and I'm lazy and I forget to reply and that's all, you know? But yeah, that's kind of why I don't want to do those kind of New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. And nothing that I also can't really achieve. I can achieve traveling at least more.
Yeah.
I can do that.
And those other ones are way too vague. In general, when we set goals, I think we make them way too vague.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't really know where to start and you get overwhelmed with all of the things that need to be done to achieve those goals. So you just end up not starting at all. And that's, I think, a lot of
And then it's like August, when it's August and you're like, okay, damn. Now I should become a better human.
Yeah.
Like, what happened in June, July, March?
And then you're like, oh, we'll give it a shot next year. And
yeah.
It's like a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. So,
no, for real. In general, I really just think, okay, more traveling because I know I like to do
that's
it.
That's concrete. That's also something that's like,
yeah.
And more traveling, I mean, even going once on a trip would be more than like...
It's true. Like, like just one trip, it's going to be more than me thinking, tonight I'm going to change my life.
Yeah, exactly.
Or when you have like a mental breakdown, then you think like, starting tomorrow, everything's going to change. And then a week later, just happens again.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Now, one special thing about New Year's is, which I mentioned in my last podcast, is the day after New Year's, on the 1st of January, I had a very, like, I had a very strong and very big mental breakdown.
Oh.
Like, I think, like, one that took, like, it took my whole soul out. So from, I think it was, like, a lot that I took in from, like, the half past of last year, which you know what has happened in bits and details, but enough to know it was not good. I think a lot of that emotion, like, I let it out all in one night, and I didn't expect me to, like, let it out in that night, because it's New Year's, you know. But I must say, it felt super good, because after that I have not cried anymore.
That's good.
That's very good. Look at me not crying.
Do you think there was something that released those emotions, or did it just come out of, like, because you kept them in your closet and then it just burst, but was it something that caused it to burst?
The thing is, I don't know, because I think New Year's for me, it's already a very emotional day anyways, because I think of, like, I have a lot of friends, and, well, I don't want to sound like, oh, I have a lot of friends, but, like, I have a lot of friends doing a lot of different things in New Year's, you know? And my dream one day would be just to spend New Year's with just every single person that I love, you know? But it's so hard, especially in Switzerland, to get together with everybody at least once, because people, they make plans already, like, this 1st of January, they already made plans for New Year's this year, you know? So already getting everybody together, then I think of, like, all my friends, and I'm like, I'm kind of missing them on New Year's, because I'd love to just be with them on New Year's instead of just sending them a random text. And then I think, because, like, just in general, like, I always think of, like, people that I really miss, especially on New Year's. And that has been, like, a lot of people maybe from, like, last year who's been in my life, or, like, people's brothers, whatever, you know, whatever the hell happens, you know, just, like, things like that. And then, like, I always think, like, oh, what are they doing? And, like, I don't know, like, it's just, like, that idea. And then I had, I think, one moment, like, before I had this super mental breakdown, I was, like, I had a really quiet moment just for myself. And I just looked to my friend's roof, because I was at her house. And then when I just looked up, and then all of a sudden it just happened. And that was strange, because I couldn't stop. Like, I really couldn't stop.
Have you experienced that before?
Not that bad, because I was, like, even because they had to bring me home because it was that bad. And, like, like, as a person, like, I'm always a happy person. Like, I'm always kind of out there, you know?
So it's such a shock that, like...
Exactly. So, and I couldn't stop, like, at, like, 5, 6 a.m. Yeah. Like, I kept on going. Like, homegirl's going strong, you know?
Did you get enough sleep, or were you also, like, sleep deprived?
I was also very sleep deprived.
That
because,
also doesn't help.
Yeah, exactly. That really did not help, you know? Oh. And then also with alcohol and everything, like, I think everything just mixed itself.
Yeah.
But... it was a good mix, like, in the same time, like, I'm happy that it all came out.
It's good to cry. It's good to let out. And crying itself, you release toxins from, you release, like, bad hormones when you cry. So there's actually something physiological happening when you're crying that is good for you. So it's good to do.
I learned to really appreciate the cries.
Yeah.
Like, the cries, they're the best, because I know it's like, oh yeah, like, I'm crying again, you know?
Yeah.
Oh shit, you know? But at the same time, like, you feel so good after a good cry. Like, you might be a little hungry, like, or a lot hungry, you know? And just kind of just like, you know, like, getting all your feelings together and just being all shaky and everything, you know? But it's good.
You kind of feel like reset at that point, and like, you can tackle the world again. You just needed to
let some weight out,
and then you're ready again, yeah.
I swear, like, I think, I don't know, like, after, I think 2021 was more of a challenging year in general.
For many people, I'd
right?
say, yeah, 100%.
Would you personally think that pandemic made a change in people's mental health?
100%.
Yeah.
I go to therapy, and it's extremely hard to get appointments now, because the therapists are flooded with new patients, and I went to the waiting room there, and you could never find a seat. And
really,
there's been a huge rise in, I mean, it's understandable with all that you see in the news. It's extremely depressing, and you feel so alone. You can't really connect with people because you're not allowed to see people anymore. And we're social people. I mean, humans are social animals. They need to be, I mean, as even introverts like myself, like, we still need to have some sort of connection. And if that's just taken away from you, like, It makes sense though, yeah.
Do you think, like, for example, pandemic mental health versus pre-pandemic mental mm-hmm. health, like, do you think there was a big change, or like, would you say, like, for yourself, like, that it wasn't a big change, or like that a lot changed? Like, mm-hmm. how would you maybe describe it?
I, like, for me personally, mm-hmm. how it was, I would definitely say, like, I was quite affected by it. I remember I had I've had like many panic attacks before, but I had the first panic attack where I really felt like I could not breathe, and I, like, everything closed up in my throat.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that, like, it was a couple of weeks into quarantine, and it just was all too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was also a mix of what was happening in uni and stuff. So I think if I didn't have uni going on, it wouldn't have been so intense. Like, mm-hmm. maybe if I had other things in my life, but I would definitely say it had, definitely made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
I would say so. Yeah.
That's crazy to think mm-hmm. that, like, that this rule of, like, staying home yeah. is going to make you go insane even more.
Yeah.
Because I know people as well, people that are close to me, they are extroverts and they love life, and they're, mm-hmm. you know, they're basically in their habitat when they can go outside and just mm-hmm. do stuff. But, like, even for them, just the fact of, like, staying home
yeah.
has, like, caused them to actually really fall into depression, because yeah. they kind of just realized everything and it just all got too much for them.
Yeah.
And now the fact that we have a bit more freedom, they're still actually stuck in that kind of mentality.
It's hard to get out of it. It's because it's become normality
mm-hmm.
for many. And I think even introverts that enjoy being alone, it's hard when you're told that you have to stay at home.
It's not a choice anymore.
You don't have the free mm-hmm. free choice anymore. And yeah, it weighs on a lot of people for sure.
And what do you think? Because, okay, between, like, COVID and not COVID, and school, we've both been in school,
yeah,
it, like, in and out, we've been in school, yeah. like, you know, just doing our shit, just trying to get life done.
Yeah.
Has school made it worse?
I would say school is, like, pretty much the core of a lot of my mental health problems.
Really?
Stem from school, yeah. Because you're put in, like, your whole being is put in question, your whole worth is put in question, your worth of being able to work hard and collect information and then show that information in a test and prove yourself is being questioned, and it's a lot of pressure, because what you do in school it determines what happens in the future, and you want to do well to impress your parents, to impress your peers, to impress the teachers mm-hmm. and especially for me, I'm a perfectionist, even though I'm, like, far from perfect, but that perfectionist in me could never be happy with myself. I always needed to do better. And even though I was the best in the class, I always felt like I was not good enough. And school has just, yeah, it really puts so much pressure mm-hmm. on you. And I think a lot of people now, that mental health is increasing because schools are changing. They're becoming a lot more intense. It's a lot more demanding than it used to be. You have to get higher grades, you have to have more knowledge, you have to do more tests. And I mean, compared to, like, I hear from my parents and they said, like, uni was, like, it was fine, it was tough and mm-hmm. stuff, but it was completely doable. I still had time to, like, hang out with my friends and still, but now it's like a whole new ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah,
what do you think schools, like, should what could they do to make a better mm-hmm.
It's hard. Choice. It's hard to say, because you have to somehow test the students to see if they are learning, and you kind of, like, to get into uni, they have to see something that shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be too hard to make an individual assessment of every student.
Yeah.
And make it really personalized. Mm-hmm. So that's why tests work, because it's quick.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's.
Do you think
it's a really interesting question, but, like, I don't know.
Do you think they made, like, their whole curriculum just a bit harder because people are just more at home these days?
And
it's
kind of,
it's like, and it's like, oh, because you're home,
yeah.
you should be doing more, like, you have more time to do stuff.
I actually don't know, like, how COVID influenced.
It's interesting, right?
I don't know. Because in I was in uni when COVID hit. And the stuff that they were teaching us was pretty much the same as what was happening pre-COVID.
Yeah.
But I wonder how it was in high schools, how...
I wonder as well.
Because I remember there was in some IGCSEs, some students, like some schools, they allowed people, like they just looked at the student's past work, and depending on that, they gave them a final grade from that. They didn't even have to write the IGCSEs. They just gave them a final grade.
You would have been one of those kids for sure. like between me and you, I would be the one where they were like, yeah, Alex, you need to write, like, you need to do another exam. Where, but you still, they'd be like, so you pass, and you're just there like, okay, guys, so I can go home while I'm just there like in tears, suffering, you know? Like, yeah, okay, great. Me with my barely made C's, you know?
In the end, I also had a C, so like, don't worry. My average.
But your C was like probably like a nice, like a C with like flowers. Mine was like a C with like deadheads around it, you know.
But hey, you have a bachelor. You went to Paris to study. That's, I don't even have anything to show for it. So,
I mean,
it's about what you do with it. It's not about.
Okay, I'm like, what am I doing with my fashion bachelor's? I work in a food company.
Still, it's good to have on your CV, like, wow, she went to Paris, the fashion like central, and she got a bachelor there, and it's also a really great university there. So
I mean, okay, yeah, okay,
it's still good. At least it's abgeschlossen,
like, yeah, it's done,
yeah, it's done,
it's completed, yeah. I mean, okay, that's true. I'm like, yeah. I must say, I'm very happy about that, because do I want to go back to school? No. I mean,
understandable.
I mean, I would go back,
yeah,
maybe after COVID times, but then again, I don't know when this pandemic is, like, between this pandemic switching into an
epidemic.
Yeah, between this pandemic switching into an epidemic, and then from the epidemic, like, learning how to live the normal life, like, that's the point when I'd be like, hey, I'll go and do a master's, you know? But for now, I think I'm good.
I mean, I had so many people who were, like, older studying, and I think that's so cool that even like later in life, you can still come back and learn stuff.
Oh, I think so too. I think there's no age.
Yeah, for 100%. 100%.
I think like a lot of young people, they make a lot of pressure on themselves that they have to have everything done now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you have to finish now. You have to know what you want now. I'm like, how the hell should I know what I want now in life? I can't even choose my lunch the next day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't really work. Like, I know, for example, when I was finishing my bachelor's, for example, and in the first half a year, we had to show our first work. And I was showing the teacher my work, and just, you know, and after he started shouting at me and like, like angrily shouting at me, and like my mental health was already not on a good level. Mm. It was crappy at that point anyways, because I'm inside, I'm just working the whole time deep inside, and it's just all shit. And then after he starts shouting at me, telling me how shit my work is and how lazy it is, this and that, you know? So me and my abilities of wanting to study and being there and just being alive, I was like, I'm not going to do this anymore. No, I was like, Stella, when I tell you, I'm like, I was done. Oh, okay, I was less done at New Year's. Like, no, New Year's, I was the donest in forever. Like, it took the life out of me. But then that was a different kind of done. It was like, I can't do this. Like, everything was just way too hard.
Yeah.
You know,
was he also the same to other students? Like, was he notorious for?
No, well, I don't know. He wasn't with other students. He seemed to be a bit more fine, but I guess because mine was just more of a basic kind of work. It was like basic, but it was like facts, you know, and not like how pretty my PowerPoint presentation was. And they want to see more like, you know, PowerPoints and how nice it looked, like this and that. And obviously, I did a very nice one, and I put a lot of blood and sweat into it, and some tears into it, but. Yeah, but the man, he was something else. And like, when I say like, oh yeah, studying and this and that, and like teachers and school, how they affect people, like it makes a big difference.
Yeah, it's insane how what a teacher says can, you keep on recalling it for the rest of your life. Like you depend so much on what they say, how they assess you, and it really impacts you. And I mean, it's also so sad that they think that how you perform here is how you're going to perform for the rest of your life. Oh. The way that you perform in this math lesson, like, if you can't do this, then you can't do anything.
And
like,
I never used X minus Y times Z. I never, Stella.
Because it's not important for everyone. And just because someone's not, because intelligence is such a spectrum. You have emotional intelligence, you have
street smarts,
you have it's such a spectrum, and just because you're not good in one part doesn't mean you're not fantastic in another part. And I don't get why teachers don't don't like motivate people to find their strengths. They just say, you're not good at that, 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 that. Mm-hmm. Why not help? I'm saying like teachers, as I'm like really generalizing. Mm-hmm. There are really wonderful teachers there that help you find your strength. But for them, what they teach is the most important thing, and they're proud of what they teach. And so
are you talking about anyone specific?
Maybe.
I'm feeling like I know who you're targeting. The ones who know, you probably know.
Yeah. If you know, you know. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. It's very true. But then, either way, I feel like we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think especially during this COVID time, like between already having to stay at home and do homework and just, being locked in and not being going, like being able to go outside.
Sunlight is such a huge,
the vitamin D is always important. The D in both ways is always important.
100%.
But the sun at this point, the sun.
Yeah.
Go and get some sun, guys. Yeah. But like already being able not to do those things, it can obviously affect your mental health, which 100%. I 100% think is true. And then plus, I don't know how people's living situations are, live at home. Yeah. If you have maybe a family that maybe they struggle, that maybe bring you to struggle with this, or maybe you were raised just very strict, or I don't know, something has happened to you. I don't know.
You can't escape from that anymore.
No, you can't. But like, what would you say for people who are young, for example, that, try to go seek help? Would you recommend it? Would you not recommend it?
100%. 100%. It is hard to find these. I mean, honestly, what helped me a lot was having such a supportive mother that mm-hmm. really like helped me to make all these appointments with therapists and find these connections. So it is hard when you don't have the support, because I know many people whose parents are very much, they don't believe in mental health issues. They think you can only just solve it by going and having a walk in the forest and something like.
Mm. That's like my household. They kind of believe more in like, mental, it's kind of like, you're probably just having a bad day,
Exactly. So they
shrug it off.
They don't take it serious. And, I think it is wonderful if you can seek help, but sometimes that's not possible for everyone. One step that you could take is just to open up to someone that you know, someone that you trust and that you feel safe around, and that's already an incredible first step, because keeping all of this inside of you just eats you up. And you don't have to necessarily go to a professional therapist in order to get help. Mm-hmm. You can also just open up to someone that you know, and just the act of telling what's going on is sometimes cathartic enough to make you feel lighter. Mm-hmm. And so just as hard, it is hard, but it is really like, that's one thing that really helped me a lot, was just opening up about my struggles.
When did you know that like that something was not always like always going smooth and like chill?
I started therapy quite young. I was 11 when I went to therapy first. I first went to therapy because I had obsessive compulsive disorder. Mm-hmm. I was diagnosed later. I had a lot of fear of the dark and of like monsters and ghosts. And I would have to do certain rituals in order to ease my fear. So I would have to like make sure to smile at the mirror to make sure that I wasn't upsetting. Like, it sounds so stupid, but like I really would have to smile into the mirror to make sure I wasn't like upsetting a sort of demon that was maybe in there. Or like I would have to do, when I was lying in bed, I would have to look around the bed a very certain way to make sure that nothing would like come out of the bed and hurt me. And if I did that wrong, I'd have to do it again. And sometimes I'd be up for like an hour, not being able to sleep because I had to do these rituals. So it was quite an early experience of therapy and mental health for me. Yeah.
Did you figure out like when you were like young by yourself, like, were you like, hey, that's not really normal? Or were your parents kind of like, okay, I think we need to like step in?
I think it was my mom's idea that I mm-hmm. go see someone, because I was just complaining about it a lot of time. I don't even think I knew about therapy. Mm-hmm. I definitely didn't know about
it. I mean, it's not really a thing for us, kids to know that that's like a thing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So it was probably through her that I, yeah,
Were you happy that you already went like so early already to go seek some help?
Yeah, 100%. That really, I know someone who he never really tackled his OCD, and it carried on until his adult life. And he was never medicated. He was never treated for it. And he lost his job from his OCD because he would leave the house and think, oh my gosh, my stove oven is open. And then he would come back and it would be fine. And then he'd leave the house and then have to come back again because he was always worried that something, and so he just couldn't perform at his job. And he had big responsibilities in his job, and he was always worried that something that he did would be at the cost of other people's health and maybe even like end up killing somebody. And so he just couldn't function anymore. And on it, like maybe having earlier treatment would have helped him, but it's hard to say. Yeah.
So you would actually kind of encourage people to actually do, like, if they kind of notice something that they should go and seek help.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I've always thought about maybe I will go and see somebody, you know, but then like I have like this thought where it's like, oh, but you know, it's fine today. Today it's fine.
The stigma that you have to be in a bad place to go to therapy is so toxic because literally anybody can go to therapy. Even if you're a stable person and you're just going through something, life will throw you so many obstacles in the way, and it's hard to deal with it at times. It's easy to get burned out. It's easy to get overwhelmed, and it helps to talk with somebody. And sometimes it's helpful to talk to somebody that has a neutral opinion, doesn't come with a lot of prejudgments. You don't have like a huge relationship to them, because sometimes it's hard to open up to your parents or your loved ones and stuff, because it's, you have too much connection there, and it's something where it helps to have like a neutral perspective on it. So honestly, going to therapy, even if you're like not in the worst state ever, is still, like, I always feel after my therapy, I feel like I've been reset and I'm ready to tackle the day.
Yeah.
And it gives me so much energy. So I really love it each time. Yeah.
Like, how do you personally know when you can trust like somebody to like to actually talk to? Because that's kind of my thing. Like, obviously, I've an open book. Literally, I have a podcast. But like, I think of like, there's things that I don't tell people. Yeah. Like, even my bestest of friends, like, they wouldn't know like my inner demons or things like that, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, I know one day I should have to probably get rid of them and just like talk about it. But then I sometimes think like, oh, the trusting part, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go through of like, you know, thinking I can trust this person. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I need to switch. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's a lot of effort.
Yeah. And it is a bit of a luck game, because sometimes the first therapist you have is a fail shot, and it is quite a journey. I must say I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've had 6 therapists in my life so far, and I'm happiest with the one I'm with now.
Really?
One of them changed jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, 2 of them changed jobs, and one of them I really liked as well, but I couldn't see her anymore. Mm-hmm. But the one I'm with, I like the most right now. And it is something that's just a trial and error. But once you find that person that you connect with, even like not just therapy, but also just like friends or family or something, then you're set, and it's a wonderful feeling. So it's worth the hardship to get there.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe the first person you open up to, it's like it just clicks.
Like an instant
the first therapist.
Click.
Yeah.
Oh, I would kind of hope so. You know?
Yeah.
Not that I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, it's not you, it's me. Breaking up with your therapist. I'm like, oh. And they're kind of analyzing the breakup. I'm like, don't analyze it.
Yeah.
So now, like, for other people in general, like, when it comes to mental health and, like, you yourself, like, I bet you know a lot of other people who maybe, like, deal with the same stuff or maybe don't even know that they're probably dealing with the same stuff. Like, I wouldn't know myself I'm really dealing with, until I get, like, certain anxiety attacks, like, once or twice a full moon. Then I know, like, oh, shit, like, oh, shit, something's happening. Yeah. Now, like, people who decide to be more open about it, how do you feel about, like, because I feel like at one point we had this whole culture, well, this new kind of culture introducing where people, they talk about a bit more about mental health awareness. How do you personally feel about that?
I think it's wonderful that people are, that it's not so stigmatized anymore. And it's also like, I think there should also be more promotion for men to talk about their feelings and not be humiliated and be called like a girl or a sissy when they, because I think it helps so much to talk about your emotions. Mm. And I definitely think it should keep on being pushed. And yeah.
In like what aspects do you think that, I mean, like, okay, I know that a lot of people are now kind of coming out with like, you know, mental health, this and that. But then I know there's also this kind of social media thing about mental health.
Yeah.
When it comes to, I guess, this new TikTok generation, I want to say.
Oh, it's okay. So there's two sides. There's the one side where it's like, it's much more acceptable to talk about mental health. But on the other side, it's also kind of being romanticized, where mm-hmm. it is now desirable to have this mental illness. You have a lot of movies where you have the like depressed main character girl who's like really shy, and like I mean, a very, very great example is 13 Reasons Why, which
oh
is
my goodness,
a shit show.
I did not watch it.
Good, don't. So it pretty much it romanticizes suicide, because after she commits suicide, she's finally the center of attention. She can finally act her revenge upon everybody that did her wrong, and she's like desired by Clay, for example, who's like, oh, I really wish I would have like done something before she died. And like, and it there were some like there was kind of an outbreak, I saw a graph there was a slight peak in suicides following there. And there was also a lot of copycat suicides who would also make those cassette mm-hmm. tapes. So the problem is that it can have knock-on effects. And you also see in families, if one commits suicide, then there is a increased chance that someone that they know also commits suicide. It has a domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the problem that, yeah, media like, just doesn't have a great hold on it, and mm-hmm. tends to romanticize it, and
because kind of like, okay,
make
great,
it cute and quirky.
Yeah.
And also with eating disorders, it's
my goodness, yeah.
Like it's a struggle stuff, but you know, in the end, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it's handled very well.
There was like this. I can see it, because there's like this one side where people, you know, they're actually kind of coming out and legit talking about what they have been going through.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like the influencers also kind of like, oh my gosh, like yesterday. Yeah. Just like, you know. And
I love my like clothes organized. I'm so OCD. It trivializes it. And the people who have actual OCD, who have actual tics, they feel like they can't come out anymore and speak about it, because then they're going to be, they feel, I don't know. They're not going to feel that they're going to be taken serious mm-hmm. enough. And yeah,
because it's kind of like a romantic idea of mm-hmm. like romantic capital R in this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Of like that's just some, I'm not a trend, but it's kind of like a
it
thing
is
that
kind of
yeah,
a trend,
yeah, yeah, low key a trend of like yeah. having something, you yeah. know.
I mean, there was a surge of people having going to doctors with tics, and they call it the TikTok generation.
Oh my goodness!
There was an actual surge of people having tics, and it's yeah, it's really crazy.
My goodness.
Yeah.
In a way, that's like for people who like actually do have something.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you want to be taken seriously? Because you're exactly. like, wow, the world's finally talking about it. Yeah. But then you're like, no, not like that.
Yeah. Exactly. And they went through years and years of trying to get diagnosed and having a lot. I mean, when it was more stigmatized, I'm sure they also went through a lot of pain and a lot of ridicule from other people. And then suddenly they see it's like, oh, it's trendy. Haha.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh great. I missed the mark by a couple of years. I should have developed it like
oh my
more
goodness.
Recently.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's horrible as it sounds, but it's probably like what some people do think.
Yeah, for sure.
My goodness. Yeah. That's bad. I mean, yeah, I can see what, like somebody who myself, I don't really see myself as the most mental health person that suffers a lot from it, you know.
Yeah, which is good.
It's just sometimes when it creeps up on me, I don't know when it's there, you know. All of a sudden I'm like, I think I'm having an anxiety attack, but like I'm just there alone and I'm like, I can't breathe, and like it's all dark, and that's when I'm like, oh shit, it's happening. Yeah, I'm you know,
it can come out of nowhere for sure. I know someone, he was very stable, his whole life and was always doing the best in class, and he like finished third best. And then he went to uni and he just cracked when it came to the exams. He was doing fine during the semester, but then suddenly he didn't go to a single exam. He cracked. He regressed. He went to his mother and he slept in her bed, and he was like just out of nowhere. And he was a very mentally healthy person. And so there are situations where it can just be brought out of us, and it's understandable.
My goodness. It's like, it's like you can see it gets the best of us.
Yeah, 100%.
Do you think personally people, they have to be diagnosed to know if they have something or not? Or like, because I know a lot of people, they also don't want to go to a doctor and be like, oh yeah, like I officially came out with the paper as in I am depressed,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Like, so on the one side, I say it doesn't have to, you don't have to get diagnosed. Because I don't know, because sometimes it's not easy to get the diagnosis. It takes quite some time. But on the other side, it's very dangerous to self-diagnose, because you have so many quizzes online, so many resources where pretty much anyone could have depression, pretty much anyone could have autism, pretty much anyone could have anything, like the rarest of diseases. And so I think self-diagnosis is very difficult, but you should not be scared to talk about your mental health even without a diagnosis, is what I'm saying. So yeah, it's probably best not to self-diagnose, but don't be scared to talk about your mental health with other people even if you don't have a diagnosis. I mean, I don't go up to people and say like, oh, I'm struggling, here are my papers, like it's not important for them. The only people it's really important for is for my uni, who needs to know that I need some like extra time with certain things, or
Do you think that, I guess, in life, for people who I guess do need, I guess like for you, for example, extra time, like has it been like a struggle to kind of get people to recognize that you need this? Or
honestly, Switzerland does it really well. All you need is a doctor, like a slip from the doctor. I mean, I have my extra time because of dyslexia, where the mental health comes into play, is that I couldn't manage to go to a couple of my exams because I had huge panic attacks before the exam, and so I had to get a slip from my therapist. But here in Switzerland, pretty much if you have a doctor slip, they're happy and they don't question you about it. So I'd say here it's quite right, it's quite gerecht.
Justified. But do you also feel like maybe for a job, for example, would you do you think you would need to have like any kind of like special, not special care, but like like would you tell them like, hey, I have this as well? Or would you maybe just not try to approach it?
I wouldn't come out of the back, because my mental health at the stage that it is, it doesn't einschränken my life. It doesn't limit my life. But there are people out there who definitely struggle at it more at a daily basis. And there are definitely companies out there that would see that person and be like, okay, we can't deal with that, we're going to look for someone else. Which is sad, but that's the truth.
Because it might as well actually really do be qualified. But
yeah, 100%. There are definitely also companies out there that will allow those sick days, that will allow those, because they can see that they're actively in treatment. And but it is really, it's hard.
What kind of sick days what would you consider as as a woman? Sometimes every time I'm on my period, I would love to count as a sick day as well. especially the first two, the first one. Oh my goodness, But what would you feel like would be justified as like 6 days? Like, do you feel like if you're really just not having a day that you're allowed to stay home? Like,
that's the thing. I think it would have to be quite a severe case of mental illness that would, because otherwise anyone could take a sick day. Anyone could be like, oh, I need a mental health day. And those are very important, but I don't know. It really depends. There are really people out there who cannot work that day. They're just inhibited by their, it's hard to say for sure.
I feel like also, I mean, what also would help in my professional opinion is that I think if we had shorter work weeks. Shorter work weeks, because you only have Saturday and Sunday to do then what you like, that what you actually really want to do, but then everybody's doing exactly that what they want to do as well at the same time. If you have shorter work weeks, I feel like you can still kind of have that me day, and like it's very special when it's like during the week and you're off.
Yeah,
it's different. It's a different vibe because you're like, okay, it's like you're like it's Tuesday morning and nothing's happening.
Yeah, it feels like naughty.
Exactly,
like, I should be working.
Yeah, now, like, I'm like, wow, you know, everybody else is working. You're like, I get to go to the post office and no one's there at 10 o'clock. Like, and you get to like do your errands, like, and not after 5 p.m. Then when you're coming home, when everybody else is coming home, like those days, they feel nice. They like I must say for my well-being, those days have been the best. And I think everyone should at least have those. So I always think like work also makes it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, then again, for like mental health in general, we know like certain things that where mental health can just like get like it just gets worse.
Yeah.
I guess like school is a big factor, work is a big factor, family is a big factor, but also I guess social environment as well.
Social pressure,
yeah. Which is a big
Instagram Ooh. Models photoshopped asses to the sky, and
my goodness, yeah. And also the kind of expectations of like how you should look like, you know,
and like they have these huge asses but no cellulite. That's not realistic.
No,
that's not realistic,
because I'm like, so we have both.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes more cellulite than the other.
Oh,
which
gosh.
You know, I mean, and do you see us complaining sometimes?
Yeah, most of the time.
I was like, no, we're not complaining. Like, yes, we
you
actually
set us up for that.
I'm like, well, yes, we really are complaining at times, you know. Do we wish we had that? No, you know. But realistically,
but going back to the break,
mm-hmm.
It is so important to take mental health breaks. I mean, it's so important to take breaks for yourself.
Yeah,
really. What I said before, I sort of take that back. It's not really that I don't see the importance of it. I see that it's hard for companies to allow that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely something that's maybe going to be more of a topic later
in
the future or something.
Yeah.
But right now, the way that we are, it's, you know, don't care about mental health. I just need that money. I need your work and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think money has sadly a higher priority than the health.
Yeah,
I mean, people work themselves to death.
People do.
Yeah. But it is so important, because otherwise you burn out. And yeah, I mean, I quit uni on the 31st of January. It's not even the 31st, the 31st of December last year. I'm all over the place. I decided to drop out of uni because I just broke. And I think that's probably one of the best decisions I made in a while, because I can really already feel myself healing from that.
Can I ask, like, what kind of led you to make this decision?
It was I felt like I was in limbo. It really was that I put in a lot of effort, always in the beginning of the semester, and I really fought and stayed there, like, late in the night. I stayed there until 10 p.m. I would always go to the library after class. But when it came to the exams, I was always so behind, and I just froze like a deer in headlight. And I was so confronted with myself and confronted with my, because for me, if I perform badly in uni, it's not just, oh, I got a bad grade, I didn't study well enough. No, I am a bad person. I'm not good enough. And it just always put me in the spotlight. And it was just this limbo, and this is the fifth time that I went through it, and I just broke. I could not take it anymore. And I think something like what I'm going to do now is do a Fachhochschule, which is much more like practically arranged, focused. And I think that would probably be, and in general, just a break now helps. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For people who are maybe like in a similar situation of like deciding what they should do, what would you like, not saying that. Don't take Stella's advice, like, just
no,
like, oh yeah, and just do
I'm
it.
I'm not a professional.
But no. People who are like kind of in the same boat, what would you recommend? Like, just in general, your thoughts. Someone's like, hey, same.
I mean, it doesn't need to be that you need to have like a drastic life change, life decision or something. But what could really be beneficial is just to have a break, and to really analyze where you are, what you've done. Are you happy with what you're doing? Do you maybe need something else? And sometimes just that break is enough for you to keep on fighting. Because you just need to heal yourself up again, and you're ready to go again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that dropping out of uni is going to solve all your problems. It really doesn't. There's a lot more problems when you're dropping out. But I think just a break in general. I mean, unis, so many students take just a year off from uni and they come back, and the unis are very happy to have you come back. They're, at least the ones here, they're very well aware of mental health. And I think it's definitely a,
Why do you think some people are probably like afraid to like take that break? Because I know a lot of people like they just hesitate and hesitate and keep on going. They make themselves even more unhappy, even though they know just as much as they probably should just not well, they should just not even be there.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think people, they just hesitate so much on it?
It's hard to show weakness. It's hard to admit that you're done and you can't fight anymore. It's especially if you have weight from your parents looking at you and eyeing you, what you're doing. And then you have to admit to them, I just can't do this. And also if you're in an environment and you see everyone around you excelling and doing well in exams, and you hear them talking about the lecture and they're understanding it, and you're like, how are you understanding this? And
you hear like close friends to you as well. Like, if you're actually with them and you're in a group with them and they all get in, they all pass their exams, and you're just there like holy shit.
I'm just going to keep quiet. And So I think it's hard to admit it, but it's also strong to admit that you need help. And it's strong to look for help and to take that step. It's not giving up in a battle. It's, how do I put this? You're not giving up fighting, but you're letting yourself have time to heal, and
I think people, they forget in the end that they're still human.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's a journey. It's not, you know, you have to fight and never take a break. You need to have breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And these breaks are not, you're not giving up, but you're just allowing yourself to be stronger. Yeah. I mean, when you exercise, you tear muscles, you break them down. And that's why the next day you have muscle kata, you have muscle pains, because you have it's building it up. And through that rest, you allow your muscles to build up and get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not during the exercise that your muscles are bulking up.
Mm-hmm.
It's through the rest that you're allowing your muscles to actually regenerate. That's why if you never give yourself a rest and you always work out, you're not going to build up that muscle. You need that rest to give yourself nourishment. So I think it's the same with the brain. You need to give yourself that rest to let yourself heal up and also get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think some people, they, like, I think what I've noticed by some people is that they're also kind of afraid of like what happens after.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, have you ever, like, now that you've, I mean, you dropped out of uni, for example, did the thought ever come like what happens after?
Yeah. I was definitely, I mean, I always had my plan B, which was a Fachhochschule. So I guess I wasn't really that scared of the future because I had this other route. But of course, there's this fear in my head, because in the Fachhochschule, you also have exams and stuff. And there's this fear, it's like, what if this doesn't work? I'm going to be 25 and have nothing to show for myself. And it's definitely a thought of mine. And it's also, there's so much emphasis put on finishing stuff as fast as possible, going through high school as fast as possible, going through uni as fast as possible, starting work as fast as possible. And yeah, it's there's so much pressure on that. And that's definitely something that I battle with, because I'm definitely late in the game when it comes to like doing my bachelor and stuff. I know people in my life that are already done with their masters now, and and you just think to yourself, like, why couldn't I do that? What the fuck? Why couldn't I pull myself together? And it's this whole comparison that,
which people, is all super toxic as well. Yeah, the comparison thing.
Oof. Yeah.
That's
a whole other subject. It's very detrimental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
it's really odd that we always compare ourselves with people who are quote unquote doing better than us. Why do we not compare ourselves with drug addicts or people who really throw their life away or criminals and stuff like that? Why do we always find ourselves comparing ourselves with, I don't know. I think sometimes, especially myself, I do things that put myself in misery And I almost do it on purpose, and yeah. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of self-sabotage.
Self-sabotage, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
But I think I know a lot of people, they actually do self-sabotage, yeah. and they know they know that they're doing it, yeah. in a way, but like, they know it, but it's like, you also can't really control it at the yeah. same time.
That's very true, yeah.
Because you're still just like, you're just going with it, and after all, in the end, you're kind of like crying about it, and you're unhappy about it, and everything's yeah. just like coming out. And then once you have kind of a fresh day, you know that you kind of ruined it for yourself at some point for some things.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't know, like, I don't know if there's like this kind of need of like wanting to kind of feel bad in this way.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, not saying that we want to feel bad, but things like certain things, like, it's a kind of a cycle, like it happens again and you're yeah. kind of like, well, it's here again.
I think it's also, I mean, there is one part of it where if you're feeling bad, it allows other people to come into your life and help you. And that's honestly one thing that I struggled with. I developed sort of an eating disorder and I lost a lot of weight, got really, really skinny. And I enjoyed having people worry about me because I enjoyed, first of all, that attention. And I enjoyed just having that, like, oh, she's sick. I'm not going to give more pressure on her. I'm not going to give more tasks on her. She has enough to deal with. And it was nice for me because I felt like I was protected by this eating disorder, and that's why it's easy to fall back in that hole, because it's warm and cozy and you're safe, and
But then at the same time, it's also the problem curse.
Is you can't get better if you're always searching for that,
mm-hmm.
because it's hard.
At one point, I think you just need to learn for yourself, but then also accepting for yourself and learning for yourself.
You can give yourself that love that other people give you, and it's a very hard process.
Have you been trying to practice that?
It feels very wrong to sort of say, like, I'm happy with myself. And I don't know, when I say that, I already have, like, the voice in my head, like, but you're not good enough. And it's just always, like, this battle, and I'm definitely nowhere close to... Yeah, I'm definitely... I'm much more content with myself, I would say. But I also think there's like a huge new culture of like, you have to love yourself. You are perfect the way that you are. And then, I don't know, it's almost too much.
It's almost a bit too fake, right?
It's so fake.
It's very fake.
I would rather say...
I see everywhere kind of like, yeah. like, oh yeah, treat yourself. You're doing fine.
Love yourself.
And you're perfect just the way you are. I'm like, okay.
But it's...
Thank you, but...
Yeah, but it's fake. And... I don't know. I think it's better to just be like, I'm okay with myself, and just sort of,
It's a bad neutral. Day. It's a bad day. If it's a good day, it's a good day, but just kind of go with the flow, you know?
Exactly,
and even if it's a bad day, don't be like, yeah, but like, you're perfectly fine. You're kind of like, okay, just like, can we just rip off the bandaid? We know it's a shit day and it is what it is. It's a shit month.
I'm indifferent to myself, sort of. It's like a neutral, like, I'm indifferent, whatever it is, what it is, I'm just going to keep on moving on. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of,
People, they try to sugarcoat, like, I don't know, like, make everything just seem nice.
Yeah, and that's tiring, and it's very fake, and it's not genuine. There's no,
Because I think, like, even people, they try to come and help you about it and just be nice, but then you're just kind of there, like, that's not really what's helping at this point.
Yeah.
Like, you're not helping, man.
You can tell me that, no, you're not fat, but my voice is still gonna,
Like, the cellulite is, like, it's gonna be different. We're, like, in the mirror, like, oh, shit.
100%.
Has there, like, been anything, except for going to seek help, or, like, you know, going to friends that, like, you found has helped you, I guess, you know, for yourself, just to kind of find that little inner peace or something like that?
Definitely. Things that have definitely helped me, like, sort of calm down my mind have been like yoga, reading, being outside, getting fresh air, that sort of stuff. That's like, that's the stuff that really feeds my soul for sure. But I think the thing that helps the best is just not relying on everybody's opinion, not relying on everybody's suggestion for how to do this, how to do that, because you can listen to thousands and thousands of opinions and thousands of suggestions of what to do, but that's not going to improve your life. What's going to improve your life in the end is what you do yourself, because you can go to therapy, but they're not going to make you better. They're just going to
sort of let you figure out yourself where the problems are and what you can do, but you have to come to that conclusion yourself. So it really has to come from yourself. Mm-hmm. And also to just be more okay with not being like, yeah, putting less emphasis on trying to be perfect and just, yeah, being indifferent to oneself. Mm-hmm. And because also I think when people say like, oh, I love myself and stuff, it also puts pressure on you and
yeah,
in an odd way. And so I think indifference is just a neutral, like, yeah, mm-hmm, less pressure on yourself.
I mean, for real.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everyone needs to, first of all, chill a little.
Yeah,
you know? I think so too. Like, we have so much pressure on ourselves just to be the perfect version and just do this and do that and do that. And then they, like, I think we really forget, like, how tired it actually all gets for us.
Yeah, it's tiring.
Because I think there's, like, there's different ways of sleeping. There's the sleeping of, like, when you're drunk.
Yeah.
And you're sleeping, but you're still awake. Yeah. And your head is still turning and things are just kind of happening, you know? And you're kind of lightly dreaming, whatever those kind of stuff are. And then there's the tired when you legit just, you're just sleep deprived and you have no sleep and you just want to sleep and just snore your way out, you know? But then there's also the other tired of basically you're like mentally just really tired, but also it makes you very physically just very tired as well. They just don't feel like doing anything. Your body just kind of shuts down, and like even answering messages on a phone, because there's maybe people just sending you so many messages or something like that, or I don't know, like people
even
are just,
that's a task that's
like it's like tackle, it, yeah, it's almost like you can't even get the energy just to just go on that text and just like reply.
Yeah.
And that's when you know, like, okay, you just have been doing a bit too much.
Yeah.
You know? That's what I would recommend, first of all. Not that I am a doctor. But what I found out...
We are not doctors.
We are really not doctors. And, you know. But just one thing that I felt to help me, and I'm somebody I love... I'm an extrovert. I, like, obviously. But I love my people. I love my people around me. And everything's just fun, you know? Well, it tries to be fun.
Yeah.
But what I love is that I start to have a bit more me time. And me time is mostly like where I'm like, don't disturb me. I'll reply when I want to reply.
That's good.
Sometimes, yes, I do forget it. But some people, they like when I tell them I have me time, then they think it's personal against them. I'm like, no, it's not. It's just it's me selfish being me time.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly okay. And then on the phone, on the iPhone, they have like these settings. And you can put like sleeping or like there's like different modes you can put in, and you can like actually see what apps can contact you and who can contact you. And I legit have nobody that can contact me.
Yeah.
Legit nobody.
That's good.
So like and I put it on like a certain time at night, and sometimes I am online, but I'm just kind of just like browsing a little because maybe I'm looking for a picture or something like that.
Yeah.
But people they still try to text me and this and that, but I'm not replying. I have my office hours, you know. I have my office hours, and I'll reply when I want to reply.
That's very good, yeah.
And that's has kind of helped me basically shift my focus and attention to certain things, like to myself, just like taking a break, chilling, being in bed, just listening to music, just doing nothing.
Yeah.
And that's something that I figured that helped me, like put the phone a bit away. Yeah. Don't always reply to people's texts. Like, because you can, but you don't have to. Do it in your own time. And that's the one thing that I figured out with my mental health that has helped me just not feel so mentally exhausted at night. Because honestly, what the hell's happening? How can you feel exhausted mentally and like emotionally, like emotionally and they're both saying and mentally and mentally and physically.
Yeah.
Like that was not normal. Like just having that feeling. I'd rather just be physically tired knowing I need to get a certain amount of sleep.
Yeah.
Or mentally, like, well, I don't really want to be mentally tired, but
yeah.
Just either one but not both.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is my suggestion.
Yeah.
So yeah, once I kind of figured out this whole focusing moment thing on my iPhone, which, you know, I'm not the most important. Well, I'm not important. I am.
You are important.
Thank you, Stella.
You're important to my life. You're probably important to many other people's lives. So.
You are too.
Thank you.
You're loved. Don't like, yeah. But once I kind of... figured out this important feature, that's what I was going to say, important feature on my iPhone. I hope for people who have Android, like, you know, I hope you find something. Just put it on, I guess, plane mode. Airplane mode and just figure out a way. Unless they created something like that as well, but I don't know if it works there. Not to offend anyone. But
just you lost like half of your viewership.
They're just like gone. No, not to offend anyone, but I did find it on my iPhone, so that's where I found it. Yeah. But yeah, once I discovered that, I realized, life can be a bit better.
Yeah.
And also, just that's also kind of why I feel like, okay, my New Year's resolution of like traveling more, taking more me time, that's why I feel like it's more important. Like it's like actually something that I feel like I could do because I want the me time so bad.
Yeah.
Like legit, I want it so bad that I know that I'm going to, you know, pull it through. I can do it.
Yeah.
I can just have it. And I think everyone, they should kind of just, I don't know, a weekend trip, something less phones. First of all, that's kind of the main idea. Less yeah. phones.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to be, first of all, more satisfied about like what's happening around you. And just in general, it's going to help you sleep better.
Yeah. I think we, as a society, we're very hedonistic. We're very focused on what gives us pleasure. And phones is definitely a huge, I mean, they are designed to make you addictive. They are designed to make your pleasure parts of your brain just fire like crazy. And it's actually been shown when you have a lot of dopamine and you get more and more dopamine, your dopamine receptors, they become desensitized to dopamine. So you need even more dopamine to get the same reaction, same pleasure reactions. So that's how you realize this when you're just sitting in silence. It's uncomfortable to sit in silence. You want to straight away grab your phone. You want to straight away do something. You can't just be in silence. And I think having all these stimuli, it's overwhelming. And that's definitely something that has also helped me. Like besides the yoga, besides the reading, is also being less on my phone because it's too much dopamine, too much stimuli. And you can't even have a single thought. I mean, it got to the point where I couldn't even like wake up without, first of all, being on my phone, putting my earphones in, watching something. I would pretty much always be watching something because the silence is scary. And it's crazy that this is something that we have to actively
practice not to do.
Which is crazy.
Because back in our days, we did not.
Yeah.
We just woke up.
Literally.
Woke up and had cereals.
Yeah, exactly. And now it's like spending so much time just watching stupid videos that have no purpose just to fill the void instead of filling the void with something more productive, something mm-hmm. that's, yeah, something that you can actually show for. And yeah, I think that's why a lot of people also, there's a lot more cases of ADHD because we're just constantly bombarded with stimuli, with visuals, with auditory. You can't give your brain a break. It's hard to focus on anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Our attention spans are decreasing, and it is something that I actively try. Like I have an app called Forest, and what you do is you plant a tree, and then for that amount of time, you cannot go on your phone or you kill the tree. And it's cute because if you plant more trees, then you can like at some point, if you get 2,500 coins, you can buy an actual tree in real life. I don't know how it actually works, but you like buy an actual tree in real life and they plant it for you.
Oh, okay.
But or you can get like new icons, and I usually go for the new icons because they're cheaper. But
wow.
But in general, it's just it. The times that I was probably the most content was when I was more just, with my thoughts and journaling and not always trying to distract myself and fill the void.
Mm-hmm. What I also, something that I dared myself to do, and I want to say dare, is in the morning I wake up and then obviously I need to turn off my alarm clock, which is on my phone.
Yeah.
And then I go instantly and I check like what's on the social media,
Instagram,
like what's, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
And I know like I wake up 20 minutes a bit early so I can just kind of chill in bed. Either I sleep or keep one eye open and just like kind of see what's happening. My screen's maybe too bright.
Yeah.
All those fun stuff I go through in the morning.
Yeah.
Like anyone.
Yep.
But then what I try to do is that when I'm in public transport to not be on my phone, because that's the time when I think you want to be on your phone the most.
Yeah.
Because you have time to be on your phone at that point. But I tried, I think 2 weeks ago, to just not first of all not put in headphones.
So no music either.
No music.
Damn.
And just go on the bus and go on the train.
Like that's crazy, because even that, when you hear that, you're like, That's hard. It's
it, like and
it seems like a challenge.
And things like if somebody's like, haha, I'll pay you, and then you're kind of, I can do that easily, you know?
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, we can do it easy, but the question is, do we want to do it easily?
Yeah. And it's so sad because you see so many elderly people,
they have nothing in their ears, and they just sit there and they look out the window.
I've seen, for example, like someone sneeze, and then the elderly person is like, oh, gesundheit, and they kind of seem like they want to start a conversation, and then it's like, oh, danke. And then they go back to their phone. Mm-hmm. And like once at Bamstick, like I was like going into my seat and I kind of bumped into one, like into like the person sitting there. And then I was like, oh, swimming so. And we like started a conversation. It was so nice. And
what happened to conversation, Stella?
Yeah, it was just like a really cute conversation. And you could tell that they were really like, they were really craving this interaction. Mm-hmm. We in a world that has become so social have ourselves become so antisocial. That's something that's like always being said mm-hmm. out there, but it's so true. We are more connected than ever, but it's harder and harder to talk to people in real life.
It's so difficult,
right? Yeah. Because it's so easy to just, you don't see the people in front of you. It's easy to just write them, to send hate comments, to just stalk, to compare yourself, but it's so hard to make real life connections. And it's sad because those ones online, I mean, I'm not talking about ones with your friends online, because then you actually see them and, you know, that's something else. But like, it's empty. It's, mm-hmm. A lot of it is empty. And yeah.
No, I get it. I even think about like if you're waiting for a friend, for example.
Yeah. So when you go on your phone.
Yeah. Because yeah. First of all, you're going into this unknown area, maybe or maybe not.
You don't want to seem like you're bored. You want to seem like you have something to do.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy.
But then again, like what's about just standing there just waiting?
It's so odd that like if you're just waiting or like waiting for the bus, if I like catch like a glance with someone, like I catch their eyes, I just straight away go to my phone. I can't just be like waiting around looking. That's so crazy. You always have to be doing something. Mm-hmm, I feel mm-hmm. like our society.
You want to look busy.
You have to be busy. You can't just do nothing. No. Which is so sad because sometimes it's so beautiful to just be in silence and just hear the noises around you.
Because sometimes that actually really helps.
It's so calming.
It just because those like
calms your soul.
Yeah, because like those random days when you're like, you know what? I really need nature.
Yeah.
Let me go to nature with a friend. And after you're walking up a hill with a friend, I did that. I did that with my friend Valeria.
Oh, yeah, I saw the pictures.
We went to the Yttiberg and we were both like, we just need some nature, you know? Yeah. And we're walking up, but like, obviously we're talking to each other, but we just hear sounds.
Yeah.
And the talking to each other was already super nice, but then also like listening to nature, just hearing ourselves walk up
just
and
also
the huffing and puffing, you know, just, you know, cause you know, girls, we just
we don't have to talk about it.
Exactly.
It's not us.
It's not us. It's just that the hill is just super high and long. But yeah. It's just that, like, and that was for me. I was like, wow, I really felt nature. I felt nature. And I'm like, why do I need to have this special day of like just doing this when I could just be doing it way more often?
Much more often.
But then I know exactly tomorrow morning I'm going to go on the bus. I'm going to be on my phone, just checking my Instagrams or something's gonna, like, I'm gonna be doing something, you know? Like, I say, like, oh yeah, I'm doing it better, but it's just those random moments where I realize, like, I could be doing it differently. And then it kind of changes a certain perspective, you know? Or I always decide to sit in the train, I decide to sit on a certain spot, always on the right side, because that's when I can see the Lake of Zurich.
Yeah.
And then I always put, like, a nice song inside, put my phone on, like, a certain mode, and then, like, a certain focus thing, and then I just stare outside the window. And that's what I try to also do if I don't really want to be staring at my phone.
Yeah.
Because I just want to let my thoughts flow, because I don't have time during the day to just like just stare at nothing.
Yeah.
So that's something that I also realized. Like, I'm like, just, I don't know, the looking out the window, it helps.
Yeah. We don't give us time to process what's going on.
No.
We always have to fill the void. And so we never have time to just sit and think about stuff.
No.
And I think it's the hardest to do that when you have things that you don't really want to confront in your life.
Oh, like, my goodness, that's so true.
Exams coming up, and that's usually the times when I spend most of the time on my phone, most of the time numbing myself, is when I have responsibilities that I don't want to tackle. Because I know that once the silence in there, in comes the, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, and it's deafening. But that's why mental health breaks are so important. That's why breaks are so important, because then you can really say, I have the time now to just be in silence with my thoughts and process everything that's been going on and, mm-hmm. and self-reflect and also see how far I've come mm-hmm. and yeah, see how far, how much I've grown. And mm-hmm. yeah, it's very important.
It is really important. Sometimes I forget how much I would need it.
Yeah.
Until I go to like this store and I'm like, you know what? I should start a diary.
Yeah, exactly.
and then I start one.
Yeah. And you stop after like 2 days.
Yes. Yes. I tried to keep up with one, I think, like last year. No, the year before, because I wrote like everything about my breakup, like all like those kind of things.
Oh, shit,
and yeah. I must say it actually really, really helped.
Right?
And I was like, if my kids read this one day, they know I was a bad bitch. They're like, they know I was a weak bitch. All this fun stuff. But then I don't know why. I think because that's when those times I'm like, I don't need to be on my phone. You know, yeah. Like, I don't have to be on my phone. But then all of a sudden, then the times come where I'm like, you know, I'm okay with being my phone again. I'm fine. And then after the diary stops. And then a year later, I go to a new bookstore and I'm like, wow, this book is
perfect.
And
you always start a new one. Oh, the thing is, goodness. I have so many ones that I've started and it's only like 5 pages, 10 pages, and the rest of it. But and then like it's empty. Like, but now it's time to start a new one.
and you see a really pretty one and you're like, wow, this is so pretty. It's gonna have all my notes from today in it.
It's gonna look like a Pinterest like board.
Exactly. And then it's really just not, you know? Like
and then it comes to the point where it's like even doing the journaling is a task and it's like homework and like
more tasks.
I should journal, but I don't really want to. So
and you're like, I'm going to do it when it feels right.
Yeah.
When the hell's ever feel right, Stella?
I don't know.
It feels right like that kind of, you know, like
it's
that,
just like the spur of the
moment. First of January feels right.
Like the first week, and then it's just like, but it's the same with like losing weight. In the beginning,
oh my
it's like,
goodness.
We're not gonna go
there. No, but you're so right. You are so right. Like I'm so motivated. Like beginning, I'm like, hey guys, like my goal anyways, like I'm like, I saw a picture of myself when we went to Greece some years ago and went to Mykonos with the whole school.
Yeah.
You weren't there, but around that time I was a skinny legend. Let's just say it like that. Let me show you the picture. Let me show you. Like I was looking like a skinny legend. If you guys see me in real life, just ask me for it. But look.
Damn, you look good.
I was.
You look good now too. What are you talking about,
Stella?
I know.
I see the difference. You know.
I know.
Because I was looking, and I was like, "How was I?" Like I was.
But I feel like it's almost like I don't know. I don't know if you can really call it like self harm, but I sometimes find myself looking through old photos and really like
I do the same. Oh.
And it's like a form of self-harm because you're harming yourself being like, why did I let myself go this far? Why did I,
or why did I ever meet this person? Yeah. Or like something like just any,
there's so many forms of self-harm. It's not just cutting. It's not just drug abuse. There's also just not like denying yourself a meal, denying yourself water, denying yourself social interaction, being on your phone for hours, and like self-hating yourself. There's so many different forms, and but that's for another day.
That's really for another day. And probably we'll have some friends with us as well who can like you know, see like different perspectives, because I think we all have different ideas
for sure.
Oh, Stella. this was a hell of a podcast, but I know we have way more other topics we want to talk about.
I think so too.
But I think we're going to move on and, you know, end this one. It was lovely having you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on the podcast.
You are very welcome. Not there's going to be another one, but And if there's anything you guys want to ask us, feel free to just, you know, send me an Instagram message. I'm always here. I always have contact with Stella. If you may see her on the street, just say hi. She maybe will be freaked out. But then again, so she knows how it feels like when you do it to her. Just kidding. Just kidding. Anyways, thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. We are so thankful that you were here, and I hope you learned something or didn't learn something. If you have any comments or anything, just really, you know, feel free to tell us. We are always open to listen. And if you are also struggling with mental health, you know, feel free to always talk to somebody. We're always here to talk to, just in case you need us. Also, if you feel like you just want that push of actually getting professional help, just push yourself, just do it. You got it. We believe in you, girl, boy. We believe in you. And yes, that's what I meant. And so therefore, if you are listening on Spotify, please leave a 5-star rating, because I deserve a 5-star rating. Just kidding. Or if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, just show your friends and spread the word. Anyways, I love you. If it's your birthday, happy birthday and good night.
Good night.
Or good morning or good walk or good bath, good bedtime. But if you're listening to us in bed, you better not masturbate. Anyways, good night.